This is Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to not just talk about the Christian life, but to live more like the Christ who calls us to follow in the trail with him, the trail of discipleship. We're titling this program today, Pioneering Ministry. And I want to say that as you listen to me, no matter where you stand today in the world or in your walk with God, he calls you to be a pioneer. It might be that you say, I don't really know God. Well, listen in, because we're going to share the gospel. We want you to give your life to Christ. Nothing else matters more. But most likely you're listening because you know him, and he wants you to know him so well that everyone around you begins to see him in you. And ministry grows, but you've got to stand up for the Lord. So our focus today, pioneering ministry, is going to be wrapped around a particular ministry in Romania. We have with us guests Raul and Anna Costia, and they're doing pioneering ministry there, but they've come to America, they come to our studio because they want to help you and me. They want to help us learn from their own life experience. We also have with us Kathy Lucas. Kathy has been a pioneer in ministry for years. She's smuggled Bibles, and you'll hear a little bit of her story, but she's done ministry also in Romania. She has a heart, a passion for this kind of a conversation. So just sit down and relax and let God touch you. Raul, thank you for being our primary spokesperson for you and for Anna as you think with us now about pioneering ministry. Did you grow up in Romania?
Yes. I was born and raised in the north side of Romania in the city called Alba Iulia.
And describe the north as compared to the south. Is it about the same? Or?
It's a different between north and south. North side of Romania, we were influenced by the Austric, Germans, Hungarian people, and during the centuries they came and they lift up the culture, they invested there. In the south, during the centuries, they had a lot of fight with Islam, and they had lots of issue, lack of education. That's why the south is more like less hope. And the economy is so much different than in the north.
It's almost like two different countries, it sounds like.
Almost like two different countries.
Oh. So Romania has what percentage of Christians?
Depends who you ask. our definition for Christian is those people who genuine are Christ followers. So genuine Christ followers, I will say, probably is about in the north side 7%, and in the south probably 0.2%.
So 1/5 of 1%. And the parallel, I think, to give context, tell me if this seems right to you. If we look at America, a little less than 80% say they're Christian, but those that have a Bible and read it, those that believe in God and pray to God regularly, those that can say, I know in whom I've believed, and I know where I'm heading in life. I'm heading to be in the Lord's presence, and I love him with my heart. That percentage is much less. I don't know the percentage. Some might say 15% or something, 20. That's what you're talking about. That kind of Christian is less than 1% in South Romania.
Yes,
and that's
exactly
where you're ministering, in that kind of a context, South Romania.
We will call it an unreached area.
Unreached area, certainly. I mean, here in this country, we have, for example, the Pacific Northwest, 2% Christian. You know, that's kind of like France, lots of Europe, 2%. But a fraction of 1%, 0.2%, that's unreached.
Yes.
Big time unreached.
And among the pastors in Romania, they call that region, Oltenia region, like a graveyard for missionaries and pastors.
Wow. So you're working in a graveyard. A graveyard because missionaries and pastors can tend to give up?
Yes,
They lose their zeal, lose their life. Okay. Now, let's turn to Kathy Lucas for a minute. Kathy, give us a little background before we go back to the mission of Romania. You, for some years, were smuggling Bibles. Is that right?
Yes, in the early 1980s in what they then called Iron Curtain countries. And that was 1983 was my first trip into Romania. And I want to tell you briefly about a man that every Romanian knows, a name that every one of them knows, a Christian does, is Moldovan. Mm. And he's a songwriter. He was a Bible study teacher. And we were taking Christian literature to him. We had actually printed and duplicated Bible study materials that he made up. So when I met him, he had just come out of prison for his Christian work and out of a year of solitary confinement. And I won't go into details, but it was very inspiring because this man wrote a new song of praise to God every day of his year of solitary confinement and said he wanted to get those songs into the hands of Romanian Christians to sing these songs. But I had no idea that many years later that Romania would be free and that I would see in the churches the songbook with Moldovan songs in it.
Amazing. Yes. Now, Kathy, you have a heart for Romania. Tell us what that means to you.
Well, I had been into several Eastern European countries, but there was something about Romania. And when our daughter was about 15, we took a trip there, and I saw all the changes and the freedoms that were taking place. And then when we were able to meet Raul and Anna and stay in their home and meet their team members, I'm still just so touched by their passion, that they're making the most of the freedom that God has given them now. They are very proactive daily in meeting together, praying, reaching out, just seeing the passion in action in reaching the Romanians is, I want to be involved with them the rest of my life.
And this is what I think what we all want to hear now as we're tuning in. We've got our interest peaked, some of us. I know mine is. I'm just getting to know your story now, Raul, but the idea of pioneering mission wherever I am. Kathy, you mentioned making use of their freedoms. Mm-hmm. We all have certain freedoms. You can live in the most closed country to Christians in the world, North Korea. You still got some freedoms to use for God's glory, but we got a lot more right here in America, mm-hmm. where I'm speaking from. And most people listening to this can say, I've got some opportunities. The question is, do we take advantage of them? Raul, tell us a little more. So you came into the... You and Anna came into the south part of Romania, into this graveyard for ministry. And what did you begin to do? How did God lead you?
So I was working in the north side of Romania with my home church. And while we were there working with the children ministry, as well as starting house churches that were connected with our mother church in the north side of Romania, somebody from the south came and visited our church. And that person presented the ministry, the need of many missionaries in the south, the need that the lost people there, they need Christ. And I said to myself, I'm not a pioneer, but at least I can pray for these people. So I got a map with the southern part of Romania. And almost every day at my devotional, I laid my hands on the map and I start praying, Lord, send missionaries over there. They need you. They need Jesus. They need the gospel. And during the few months, I start praying intensive for the southern part of the southern part of Romania. After a few months, God answered to my prayer, and He said very clear to me, Raul, your prayer is very good. I will answer it to your prayer by sending you. And it was too late to change my prayer. And and all my negotiation with him, I just lost. I was a loser from the beginning because he was very clear to me, you should go. I will send you. So I went to my home church. And
I have to stop you just for a minute. It's interesting. You said I was not a pioneer. But you pioneer through prayer. And this is stage one, I think, for all of us. If we will just hear the call of God and then start praying. I know for me, if I hear the call of God, I get nervous. I want to run away, you know, like Jonah. Mm-hmm. I want to go the other way because I know, yes, I can't do it. And that's right. We can't do God's work. He wants to do it through us. So we need to start with prayer. Thank you for setting that mark for us. So keep going.
Yes. So I went to our home church and I explained to the local committee what God put in my heart. And was exactly like what happened with Nehemiah. He just got the information about Jerusalem, a Jerusalem without God, a Jerusalem very vulnerable. You know, in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3, a Jerusalem that needs to be restored. And the way how we see mission is almost the same. A place where God's glory is not restored, we go there and we want to restore God's glory. In Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15, you see a totally different Jerusalem. So this is exactly what happened with us. We saw an Oltenia region where God is not glorified, and a sense of deep burden, a fire in our souls, a jealousy for God's glory. It started in our souls, and we said we go there and we restore God's glory by preaching the word of God, by making disciples, by sharing the kingdom for the people. That was the fire that generated in our soul.
So there's stage two. As we start praying, the Holy Spirit puts a burden in our hearts. You called it a jealousy for God's glory. That is so beautiful and biblical, because any ministry should be for God's glory, not for our own. Mm-hmm. And until we get that right, we're living in our own strength. But when we're just saying, I want you, Lord, to be glorified, and then the fire starts to burn because we've been praying, we're now being ready to be launched into that ministry. Okay, thank you for letting me interrupt you as we go. But I just, I want to keep all the way through. I want to glean what I can learn from your life, Raul.
Thank you. So we came there and we said, we thought that mission will be easy. But we learned that sometimes it's not easy. And before starting the ministry, I make a research in the context. I ask myself, why the gospel do not have success in this area before? So I start researching and understand the people before I deliver the message. And I understand the background, the context. And one thing what we learn is when the missionaries came in those areas, the reason probably they call it a graveyard for missionaries and pastors is because most of the time mission has been done by one person. So we said, we will not start the mission here. We will not start the church till we have a team. So it will be a team effort, a team will start a church instead a person will start the church.
So I just want to have you pause 1 minute again and say, you mentioned Nehemiah, and that's just what he did, isn't it? He built a team. He got all the people working together. But you also mentioned opposition, which he faced. And I think if we're going to pioneer a mission, we start with prayer. God gives us a passion. And then we're going to have persecution. We're going to have resistance. That, you know, I used to, Raul, when I'd start ministries, I would back down when it got difficult. This is the key point where I'm going to call the turning point where we should not turn away. Because difficulty is to be expected. If we're pioneering, we're taking new land, and there will be resistance, whether it's spiritual or by human opposition. So we need to be encouraged when it's difficult and do exactly what you did, pray, and God gives wisdom. Even Moses, it's like, I can't do this on my own. And so his father-in-law, Jethro, said, yes, you need a team of leaders to lead these people. We need to be together with others. So please keep going.
So this is what happened. We recruited a team. We were five of us that we started Hope Church. The word hope is relevant for the community. People will understand that we are there for give them hope. But we link hope with the name of Jesus, because the real hope is only connected with Jesus Christ. If you are a part of Jesus, then you have no hope for eternity. In Him, we find salvation, only in Him. So that's why we focus on spreading the hope that is in Jesus Christ.
So, you know, Paul talks about there's only one foundation of which I build. 1 Corinthians, first three chapters really, he's talking about this. But if Christ isn't the foundation of our ministries, who are we pioneering for? It's for someone else. It's for our own selves. And it's a waste of time. Everything he said to the Corinthians will be burned up other than what is built on Jesus Christ. That's key, isn't it?
Yes.
Thank you for that.
So we face with the resistance because, as I said before, people has kind of suspicions who we are, why we came there. So we try to build a context or a feeling of trust. So before give them the message, we try to build the trust, to get the trust from them. And we tried many projects like cleaning up the city or medical programs or different programs. But in those days, something happened unique right at the beginning of the ministry. It was a situation when, like, a big organization from America, they find out about us and they said, we will send there 100 Americans. And they will come, they will have a budget, and they will restore the hospital, and they will restore the high school, the dorms, everything. They will fix everything. They will bless your city. And I said, this is our chance. This is our chance to get the trust that we need from the people, and they will understand we are here for their benefit. So a big delegation, like the leaders from that big group, they came a few months in advance, and we went at the city hall, talking with the mayor, talking with the head teacher from the high school, and they said, okay, we are glad to have you here, and was so much money involved, and so many people involved. And the head teacher said, we give you the dorms at the hospital for the high school for so many people. So almost every single detail was okay. But exactly in those days, I visited his family, head teacher's family, for sharing Jesus with them. And his son and his daughter-in-law and his grandson and his granddaughter, they just opened the house for me for sharing Jesus. So in one day, after these leaders from America, they left, he came to me and he said very clear to me, if you don't stop going in my house, visiting my family, you will have problems with me in this town. And I knew what he meant. He will close the door for the Americans to come in the city. Because he has the power, he was in the local government, but also he can say, we will not let you here in our dorms. He had the power. So I'm not sure if you can understand the context, the pressure. Living that moment, I had the pressure over me. On one hand, the Americans, they already bought the tickets. They already bought the tickets. Everything was involved, the budget,
the
plan.
Like 100 of them?
Almost 100 of them.
Wow.
There was hundreds of dollars involved, like, don't know.
Thousands of dollars.
Yeah, thousands of dollars involved, and just the tickets and the budget for fixing the hospital and the high school, everything. On the other hand, I'm a pioneer. I'm an evangelist. I want to see people connected with Jesus. And that was the pressure. What should I do? So I left the meeting with him, and I started crying. The pressure was so deep over my soul. What should I do? And I live at the fourth floor. So every single step was a prayer. And I start praying, Lord, I don't know what to do. I just relate and know you. On one hand, we want these people to give us for the city a good trust, a good why we are here. On the other hand, not going to these people, this is me. I want to share Jesus with people. So during my prayer, while I'm walking on the stairs, Holy Spirit just brought a scripture in my mind that for him is more pressure a soul than the entire world. This is what the Bible says. So I knew that I have to continue to go in that family with any cost, with any risk. So I continued to go in that family. And his daughter-in-law and the two grandchildren, they mm-hmm. came to Christ.
Wow.
And she's a teacher in the high school. And she had a bigger influence during the years than any I can imagine. The head teacher, he kept his promise, and he really locked the door for Americans. So we lost the Americans. We lost the thousands of dollars. But we saw people coming to Jesus. And during the year, as I said, she was a vocal, audible voice in the high school and sharing Jesus in the high school. And since that moment, head teacher had a very deep hate in himself, and he said very clear to me, I will do all I can to kick you out from the town. But something happened after a few years from that situation. His grandchildren, which was one of the best in the high school and then in the university, high education, very smart, very dedicated, but also a Christ follower. And when he was about 20 years old, he died just instantly. Yeah. And was the first funeral in our city, a Christian funeral in our city, like in our church. Yeah. And like almost 1,000 people came. And professor, local government, and students, a lot of people, they just came and they hear the gospel. So in that day, I just thought, when happened? At that moment when we took the decision, instead to follow, you know, the strategy, getting the trust from the people, mm-hmm. we will follow the big value, which is winning souls for Jesus. And so I saw in the years that the impact was greater in this way. Mm. And in that day, the head teacher came to me and he started crying. And he said, you are a good man. Not because I'm a good man, because right. We know by everything is by his grace. Yes. We're depending on God. But I'm saying his words because God just touched his heart in such a way that he just became and he accepted that we are godly people. He accepted that, and now he's able to share his love. And he started crying and he said, "You are good people." So it was a good testimony. We see how God turned. He's just changing things for his glory.
So as I think about pioneering mission, I see again how it started with prayer until God gave a passion. And then as you stepped out in faith, there was that pressure. And mm-hmm. for some people, like in Romania, it'll be persecution. But there's this resistance that naturally comes. And then you knew God led you to involve other people, participation. And if you'll pardon all the alliterations, all the P's here, I'm a preacher, can't help it. But then you saw God's provision. That's what happened with Nehemiah. In 52 days, the miracle happened that took generations of prayer and waiting on God. Suddenly it all came together. So this work in Romania is going strong now, is it not?
We will say yes. By God's grace, we are able to coordinate like 15 missionaries, 15 couples in the region there. We started Hope Church, and we have multiple house churches around in the area, in the villages. Next year, we are able to launch another urban church in a city with 320,000 people, 30,000 students, a big university, and we want to start like house churches in that city as well. So the ministry is expanding through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we are relating on Him.
Raul, thank you for that word and for your story. And now, right after this break, we're going to come back with more particular stories and really begin to unpack this topic for each of us. For what does it mean to be a pioneer? And Raul, we're looking forward to hearing more about the miraculous working of God in your ministry.
During this Christmas season, we're all searching for that perfect gift. But if you could give a gift to the world, what would it be? World peace? Or perhaps goodwill among all nations? Well, you can give a gift to the world. Give the gift of the Word of God. The mission of this program is to awaken the world to the power of God's Word. Your financial support allows us to broadcast this program all over the world. Visit us on the web at scriptureawakening.org and click on the word give. We value your support and we are so thankful for your partnership with us. And on behalf of Dr. Campbell and everyone here at Beyond Words, we wish you a truly Merry Christmas.
Welcome back to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our pleasure to talk today with guest Raul Costilla, and his wife Anna's with us, praying as we talk. And Kathy Lucas, a good friend of this incredible ministry couple, she's with us, and she has a lot of history with them. And so, Raul, we have now, you brought us through the journey of how God led you into the southern part of Romania. We've talked about maybe some ideas of principles that could work for us as well, kind of like Nehemiah's principles that help us to be pioneers wherever we are at. But now we need some encouragement and teaching from you based on your life experience. Tell us some stories, and I'll ask questions to help pull this out, but we want to learn more from you. To be a pioneer means, of course, we in America can think about pioneering hundreds of years ago, going across the land, clearing the forests out, and pushing back the wildlife, avoiding the Indians, setting up camp. You know, pioneering is not easy, is it? Go ahead, talk to us.
So I give you an example. I was in one of the villages that has zero born-again believers. So I said, we will present Jesus movie. You know Jesus movie from
the Jesus
campus,
film, yes.
Jesus film from Campus Crusade.
Mm-hmm.
So we find out in the middle of the town a big house with a big wall, white wall, and we just in one day, one evening, we project a Jesus movie on that wall. So we invited people from the town. It was about 100 people, teenagers and kids and adults. They came and they saw the movie there. I was sitting on the back praying for that group. And while I was in my prayer for that group, I saw another group like about 50 to 100 yards from me. And I find out later that their plan was to beat me. So it was about 6 to 8 guys.
To
beat me up,
yeah.
And to kick me out from the town.
Mm.
That was their plan. And one of the guy was actually one of the worst guy in the town. He used to beat everyone, including his wife. And even he was even in the prison. So he came with me. He came to me with the idea of bring me in a kind of trap in the conversation. So he will say it, that if I try to defend myself, actually I'm the one that caused problems. So his question was, do you know that in the last days false prophet will come? So he thought that I will try to defend myself. Instead of that, I thought that is genuine person that he wants to know more about spiritual matters. And with my naivety thinking, I answer very simple. Yes, you're right. You say exactly what the Bible says. So I want to show you how they look like from the scripture to know how to protect yourself. So he do not have another backup plan or another backup question. So because of that, he tried to escape now from the conversation. He wants to go back to his group. When I saw that, I said, no, you stay. I want to show you how they look like from the scripture. And he's tried to leave. I kept him and I said, you stay here and I want to teach you, because I see him like a potential fish. I'm a fisher of men, and I saw him like a potential fish, you know. Mm. You understand the idea. And so anyway, finally he told me where he lives. I went the following week, I went to his house, and he was the worst guy in the town, but he hid himself under the bed. And he said to his wife, "Do not say to this guy that I'm home, otherwise I beat you again." The next time when I visited him, he ran away in the forest. And multiple times he just tried to escape. Finally, I found him home, but he was drunk. And I said, "Okay, anyway, even you are drunk, let's pray." So I prayed with him. Since that moment, something happened in his soul. And like a hunger for God, like a desire to knowing God. And I started Bible study in his house. And later on, he became a born-again believer, totally changed, no more violence, no more swearing, no more like smoking or alcohol, you know. He was totally changed. And he said that he wants to invite others. So other people came to his house, and we started a house church. But now his wife, when he saw him, now she's starting beating him. And seeing her reaction, seeing his reaction, very kind, in one evening she said to me, "What you have done with my husband?" And I said to her, "Not me, Jesus. Jesus changed people's life." And she said, "I want this Jesus." In that evening, she became a born-again believer. So now we have the family, and during the years they grow in Christ, and now they are one of the couples that they are part of the team. They are missionaries, and they do mission work in that area.
Now, Raul, when you kept pursuing, you kept going back to his house, back to his house. Is that because you prayed and God just gave you a heart for that? Did the Holy Spirit, did God speak to you and tell you to do this? How did that work?
I will say it's a kind of combination between naivety and praying for seeking the lost. I do not have a specific word at that moment that I need to pursue him. But I just feel in my spirit that I need to be when I have like a small attention from somebody, I want to utilize that moment and sharing Jesus. So that was the situation with John. His name is John. We call it John the Baptist. But
so even though you say you're not a pioneer, you have a tenacious spirit, like a pit bull. You get a hold of something and you don't want to let go.
Yeah.
Well, that was a powerful story, just thinking about how God answered your prayers in his faithfulness to go out and pioneer for his kingdom. But I know you aren't alone in this. You partner with other people, with other ministries too. Is that right? Tell us more about how it works.
So expanding the kingdom there, for us, our vision is to bring the hope of Christ for the people there. So sharing the hope of Christ, this is our aim. And we do this by like the local missionaries, they partnering with different organizations or different local churches. For example, we have a project called A New Testament for Every Single House. What we do actually is we want to make sure that the entire area, few hundred villages, will get the New Testament. Every single house will get the New Testament. How, like I said, you are able to know Jesus if you read the scripture, if you are exposed to his word. So this project is functioning like we have a team, like maybe a short trip, somebody from America with our missionaries. They come and we cover the entire village. We give a New Testament for the people. If they are home, we pray with them, we share Jesus with them, and we leave them a New Testament. But also, sometimes people, they are not able to go overseas. They want to be involved in missions, but they cannot go it. So what we do, those people who are willing to do pioneer ministry from their home, we receive their testimony, and we print it, at the end of the at the page, we give them the phrase in Romanian called, if you want to get a translation for this testimony, call this number. And they call us, and we go to people's homes, we go to their homes, and they see, because we put the testimony in the Bible, they will see the testimony is in English, and because they want to have the translation, we just give them the translation, and we start a relationship with, we share Jesus from there. So many people from America, they can do mission by sending their testimony and their prayers so the people can be saved. We had situation when I just lived the Bible, and later on I got a letter from a young lady. She said, thank you for giving me the Bible. Now I am able to know Jesus, I'm saved. So we had a situation with starting like house churches, like I said, in villages where we start the Bible, passing out the Bible to every single house. So it's a ministry that is expanding, and it's a blessing. And also...
So now, if somebody wants to participate, someone wants to write out their testimony, they want to help bring Bibles to Romania or fund, pay the money for them to get there, how do they do that?
On the website hoperomania.org.
Hoperomania.org. Uh-huh.
There is the information.
Okay.
Our emails and even video with the ministry and other information. Everything is in English.
Kathy, Lucas, just give us, someone who has smuggled Bibles into many lands in Eastern Europe when it was closed area. Can you give us maybe a story or a thought about why it's so important to get the Bible in people's hands?
You know, the Bible meant a lot to me, obviously, and that's why I smuggled Bibles there. But there was something that went deeper for me when I met the believers who were risking prison and losing their careers to get the Bibles into people's hands, and hearing a pastor say to us, where have you been? You know, we need Bibles. They are a treasure to us. And one man who had been in prison for a year also said to me, we just have to get the Word of God into people's hands. They know the communism is a lie. But when they read the Word of God, they know this is true, and people are coming to faith in Christ just by reading the Word. And I can identify with that because I came to be a Christ follower by reading the New Testament. So this ministry that Raul's talking about really comes close to my heart and what he's doing. There is incredible power in reading the gospel of Christ.
And so Romania opened to the Word. It opened so that Kathy could go there freely. She does now freely. But you who grew up there are helping link up as partnership so that we can work together to get Bibles now into all these open homes. Every single home. What a wonderful vision.
Yes, when we were in Raul and Anna's home in Dragonești, Romania 2 years ago, they had wonderfully arranged for us to have a meal in the homes of each of their 24 partners at that time. And it was very wonderful to meet these workers that are persevering, that are passionate, they're faithful. That each and every one of them were able to tell us specifically how and God called them to that area. And then I wanted Raul to share his kind of three C's for those workers, because to get workers to in a specific place who are not graveyard workers, they are remaining and they are passionate. So I thought it'd be great for him to share those three characteristics.
Great idea. Well.
So, as you heard me, our vision is to spread the hope of Christ. To accomplish this vision, our strategy is to constantly investing in godly people, having godly projects, and godly partners. When we say godly people, we evaluate the profile of the missionary by having these three C's. The first C is calling. We want to make sure that they have a genuine calling from the Lord, for God, a genuine passion for God and a genuine passion for people, and more specific for the people where they live. Then the second one, developing Christ character, like the same character like Jesus has, and constantly investing. So I'm meeting 3 hours a day, just praying, reading the Bible, and equipping intentionally in this, like missionaries or future missionaries. And the third one is competence. What's your skills? What's your role in the kingdom? How you're a teacher, you're an evangelist, you're a servant, you are most habilitated to sing or to teach, task-orientated, people-orientated. So everyone has a role, and we try to define what's their role in the kingdom. So all these three together will make the profile for a missionary.
Beautiful calling, character, and then
competence.
Do they have the gifts? Beautiful. And that's a good thing for us all to remember, is we try to help build into other people to have, you know, that this whole effort to pioneer ministry, we don't do it alone. Thank you for that. Keep talking about partnerships, because many of us want to be involved.
Another program is called Your Kingdom Come. So we believe that all the ministry has to be covered in prayer. And as many prayer warriors we have, we will be able to extend the kingdom. And that's why we have this program, and we say, give us 5 minutes from your day. 5 minutes from your day. And we are posting like daily prayer requests in English, specific prayer requests for different ministries, for different people. So the people are able to go and pray for those things. Again, the information you will find on the website, hoperomania.org, and different projects there.
Okay, so we can involve ourselves with simply 5 minutes a day, and we can pray to help see not just the Bibles going to all these homes, but people respond and receive salvation. And go on your website, and there we get sign up and get these requests coming. Will it come by email, or how do we receive those?
It's a Facebook page, and also is on the website, prayer request. So okay. Two ways. But also is another ministry that's very specific for Sunday school classes, for kids ministry. We call it 25-5. That means in 5 years, we want to start like 25 new children's group, kids club, we call it. So we go in the villages where is no Christian, we start a kids club there. So those kids, they can be adopted by a Sunday school class from here, and they can get their names, their pictures, they can pray, the kids from here, they can pray for them. Sometimes they even Skype. We had situation, a Sunday school from America Skyping with the kids there and praying for each another. And or they send cards. Okay, I'm 5 years old, my name is Jonathan, I just met Jesus. So the kids there, they're encouraged from the kids here. And these children in America, they have the sense of doing mission, even not going overseas, but they are involved in the mission field.
Wow. And if someone's listening to this program who's not in America, they can also be involved?
As well, everyone, through everyone. This website, hoperomania.org. Wow.
Romania.org again. Okay. Anything else in terms of partnership that we might be involved in?
Another one will be we have a program called Seniors in Mission.
Seniors in Mission.
So we have people, friends from America. They are retired. They have the time, the energy, the wisdom, and they have the willingness to be involved in the mission from here. Skyping with our missionaries, encourage them, praying with them once a week or once a 2 weeks, 30 minutes, and they take their burdens, they encourage them. They are the encouragers. And that ministry is very important for us, because this is the way how we keep the missionaries encouraged by having these people from America, retired people that really invest in them. And I will probably close with one more program. We call it A Fishing Rod, Not a Fish. And that's because going there, we saw the need of its very high level of poverty. For example, in the city where we were, was like almost 50% unemployed. We had two factories. Like the town has, for example, 12,000 people. And we had a factory with 2,000 people, and 500 people, both they closed the factories. And so we try to develop a system, like self-sustaining system. So what we do, we go in the family, like a poor family, and we buy even a cow or beehives or goats or something like this, animals or greenhouses. So we invest in those families, and they will, if they will got, for example, if they will get a cow, the baby cow, they will give it for the next family. Or if they get like five beehives, the two beehives they will get in 1 year or 2 years for the next family. So we have already a second or the third generation that is spreading. It's a real blessing. So people, they are able to invest in this way in the fishing rod project.
So if somebody is able to give financially, it will multiply.
Yes.
Grow.
Yeah, we had a church from North Augusta, and they came and they bought the animals. They went in the families. They blessed the family. And now, that was a year ago. Now we have the second or the third generation.
Oh, that's fantastic. Why don't you give us a final word of encouragement about pioneering ministry? Maybe a story, something that surprised you about how powerful God is to help us, to strengthen us, to help this work go forward, whatever it is. For you, it's in Romania. Someone else, it might be in America or in France or in some other place where they're listening from.
I will say the real adventure with the Lord is when you step in faith and you recognized Him in every single step. And when you see this, you see people coming to Jesus. And the real life is to see, like I said, God's glory to be restored when the people are coming to know Him.
Mm. Well, we thank you so much for giving us this time, and Anna for being with us, for coming from Romania. And may Lord bless you as you continue your ministry. Kathy, thank you for sharing also.
Yeah, thank you for opening this door for them.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you'd like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.